life more dear to me than what he would have me be. Would I gladly lay aside each dream I hold? Could I count my gain as loss and take up my given cross? Am I willing to be spent for Christ my Lord? Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, death forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. It may cost me suffering in the service of my King. It may be a lonely path I have to trod, but to deeply know my Lord will be my great reward. I would gladly give my all. I've counted the cost. Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, death forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, death forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul?
It's good to be here, and let me say thank you again to Calvary Baptist Church for taking good care of us. We appreciate that, for supporting us, for praying for us, and please continue in prayer. South Africa's falling apart right now, and our city on Thursday was bottled up. There was protest at every intersection, and what they do is they pick a major intersection, they block it with burning tires and with rocks, and then they stand around with their hands full of stones, and if you were to try to get around that, they'll stone your car. And one guy said, well, you know, if they're going to, you know, they may kill me if I get out of my car. And he decided to drive through, and it looked like, you know, it'd been in a war after he got through, because they pelted it with rocks. Every window was broken, every piece was dented, and so he got through with his new car. It looked like it about 40 years old. But those kind of things are happening, and they're happening rapidly. It is it is not beyond thought that if they do start taking land without compensation from people that own that land in South Africa, that there could be a civil war in South Africa, and that's not beyond that. So if that happens, send a B2 and pick us up, okay? We'll be looking. We'll be looking the same direction that we look for Jesus, amen? We'll be looking up. we tell you the good things in the slides, amen? We didn't tell you about a single failure. They're there, okay? We've had those. We've had the discouragements, and you carry on. You just keep going. And you do what God's given. Once back in Bopong, we went to ask if we could work in this village, and this is when it was under the chief system, and you needed to be ethical and go and ask him and talk to the chief and to the tribal council about going there. And the Lord really opened the door for us to be able to do that, and we were approved and everything like that. But the man that was sitting there, he wasn't the chief, he was a head man in the village, and he was a rich man, and he was involved in drugs and prostitution and gambling and all kinds of other vices. And shortly before I got there, his son had been killed in a drug deal that went bad. He blamed God. Imagine that. Being involved in all these vices where you can get killed, and when he dies, blame God. He took his gun and went out in the yard and started shooting up in the sky and said, God, show yourself. I want to kill you. And shortly after that, came and stood in front of him and said, I represent God. Amen. Not one of those things that was, it wasn't exciting at the time. Anyway, let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Let's stand as we read our text, and let's get into the message for this evening. Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for this great church, and Father, this great people that you've raised up, that you've saved, that you changed their lives, you put faith in their heart, and you've put faithfulness in them, and you built into them some good character and strength and desire to go forward in the name of Christ and to reach the world with the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we talk about those things tonight, we pray that you'd deal with our hearts. And Father, you know the need. Some, Father, need to increase their faith promise. Some need to be giving to begin with. And some certainly may need to say, I'll go where you want me to go, Lord. I'll be whatever you want me to be. So, Father, whatever you do tonight and want to do in our hearts, you may want us to set aside some things that are unimportant so that we can take up things that are more important for the glory of the Lord. Whatever, Father, you decide to do in this place, Father, we bow before you and ask you, Father, work in our hearts and our lives for the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is a parallel passage to Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus calls his disciples up into the mountain and begins to teach them. He's telling us this is how you start a church. You get some people saved, you get them together, you begin to teach them, and you teach them these basic things of Christianity that is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And you teach them, you're the salt of the earth. So act like being salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. So let the light shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember that you need to have a single eye and have it focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and be true to Him in all things, because you cannot possibly ever serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other. You will cleave to the one and despise and reject the other. So he's telling us these things. And then he gets into day-to-day life. Take no thought. You can't add a hair to your head. I've tried. You know, I read about a guy that he went out and he'd bend over and the cow would lick his head. He said, this is a way to make hair grow. How long do you have to do that? Does it have to be the right kind of cow? I never figured, anyway, I never tried that really. But we can't do those things. So notice here in Luke chapter 12, verse number 26, if ye then be not able to do the things which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? In other words, you can't save yourself. You've got to depend completely on Jesus Christ for eternal life, for salvation. You depend on God for growth and for sanctification and for righteousness and for strength and day-to-day. Why not trust Him with your finances? Why not trust Him with these simple things about give us this day our daily bread? I like that. Us. That means when I pray for us, I can pray for more than me. Amen? And so we pray these things and we trust Him for these things. And He said, listen, you need to do that. And He says, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so He's telling us, this is the way that I want you to live. I want you to trust the Lord. Now, He's teaching His young church these great truths. And then we get here to Luke chapter number 12, a parallel passage of Scripture, and then just Luke sticks this in, that Jesus is talking, and He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. First time the church is actually mentioned. It is. The flock. And so we look at these words, and I have 5 points from that verse. Not many words, but I actually have 5 points. And I want us to look at it, and I want us to ask some questions along the way. And the first thing is the kingdom. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. What is that key? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only way anybody can get saved, is by having the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. And Romans chapter 10 tells us that. They can't believe in someone they've never heard of, and they can't hear unless somebody preached to them, and they can't get there to preach to them unless we send somebody there. But this is the work that God's given us to do. So He said to us, in this kingdom, we are the sowers. In this kingdom, the seed is the Word of God. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you this kingdom. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. He's been in the kingdom. He's been working to lift up the king. And souls have been saved. And so we've got the work to do. We're to go and be witnesses of these things. Beginning at Jerusalem, preaching repentance and faith in Jesus Christ to the uttermost part of the earth. And as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Oh, what a wonderful verse of Scripture. We're to go, folks. And we're to go in this kingdom. It's a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of His dear Son. It's the kingdom of God. You know, a kingdom is basically a sphere, an area, domain of a king. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. So it's His kingdom where He wants us to work. And we're to go there. And listen, we may even have to go to a place where His name is not named until we get there, and then we name His name, and we can no longer say His name is not named there. Amen? So His name should be named everywhere because we take it everywhere. Oh, we've got a work to do in the kingdom. We're to go and sow the wheat. Now, we sow some by the roadside and some among the thorns and some, you know, by the wayside, And some of it doesn't do very well. I wish it all did. But then we find that good soil. Ah, it takes root downward. And it bears fruit upward. That's exciting when that happens. We're to go and do that. Then He said, listen, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know what King David said? God liked me. God liked me. What a great statement to say. Now listen, we're here as one of the Lord's churches. And we can say, God liked us. We're doing it God's way. We're following God's pattern. And it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, he didn't say, my God's good pleasure. He didn't say, our God's good pleasure. He said, your God's good pleasure. It's God's pleasure to let you go into the field and reap the harvest. I talked about this a little bit this morning, but think about that for a moment. Jesus got people saved while he was here. But when it came to the day of Pentecost with thousands being saved, he said, I'm gonna let that pleasure go to that apostle Peter and the other apostles with him to have that great day. Can you imagine what a day that was? You look back and 3,000 people got saved. And they probably, skeptics going around, say, well, we'll never have this again. And well, lo and behold, 5,000 got saved. Why? It's your God's good pleasure to work in us and to use us and to lead us and to call us and to send us to the regions beyond. It's God's good pleasure. Do you like him back? David said he liked me. David told us a lot of times, I love him. But God liked me. And so God's telling his church, Calvary Baptist Church, I want to use you. And it's my good pleasure, your Father's good pleasure, to give you this work to do, to send you to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, we rejoice that you support other missionaries, but this is not necessarily talking just about that at all. It's talking about right here, this congregation. Where are we going to get? You know what? Now think with me. These mission boards out there, I don't fight with them. I'm not worried about them. But we go through a local church. We do it that way. We believe God wants to bless it that way. But that, you know where they get their people? Local churches. So why don't we get local church people too? Sounds like a good plan. In fact, it sounds like God's plan. Amen? He's always done it that way. He didn't go somewhere else. He got them in the church. And he used them in the church. God loved us. It's his good pleasure. You stop and think about that. Soul gets saved. The angels in heaven hear rejoicing. Do you know who they hear? It's God's good pleasure. They hear him rejoicing that his son is so honored that someone would believe in him and trust him, and he's exalted in that salvation of that soul. It's your Father's good pleasure. Not just, he's talking on a kind of an equal basis here. We're working together in this thing. It's your Father. He could have said, well, you know, my Father, a little bit distant there. He could have said our Father. But when he says your Father, that personalizes it. And this is a personalized responsibility that God has a plan for your life. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the good pleasure we're talking about. God wants to use you in a mighty way to reach the world. It's good pleasure to do that. Oh, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. We had a man a few years ago that said, God wants me in Botswana. And so his church said, let's send him over there for a visit survey trip. And he came over there before we were 100 feet inside the country. Somebody said, when are you coming? We want to be a part of your church. Bring us some Bibles. We need some Bibles. And this happened 3 or 4 times. I saw his presentation later, and there wasn't any of that in there. You know what the bottom line was? He wasn't called to Botswana. He's not there either. Okay. But he is where God wants him, and he's starting a church here in the United States. So you know, he's kind of turned that thing around and is where God wants him to be. But listen, God's good pleasure. You'll know it's God's good pleasure We've enjoyed God's good pleasure for so many years, being on the mission field and being able to enjoy some of those wonderful things. Somebody looked at my daughter one day and said, you know, it's so sad that you were raised in Africa and you didn't get to enjoy all these things that American children enjoy. She said, well, wait a minute, let's see. I've been on, four or five continents. I've been in some of the greatest churches in the world, which means in the United States. I've traveled in all these things. I've made friends in all these places. I went to Kruger National Park. I've seen some of these other things. And she went on with the list, and the eyes on this person were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And she said, well, I suppose I've been deprived somewhere, but I can't think where. When you're doing what God wants, He loves you. It's His good pleasure to be involved in your life and to give you these joys of the kingdom. He's the God of that kingdom. And He says, little flock, a purchased flock, a fed flock, a fathered flock. Oh, He put shepherds in that church. And He fed them and He led them by His hand. And the man is said to take the oversight by example. And he builds that church. And here's this flock. And that's who he's talking to. He's not talking to everybody else. Now, when you read the Bible, you just need to read it like it was, you know, it was given to you. And that is this. There wasn't anything else. It wasn't a denomination or a convention or association. There was churches. And that's what the Bible knows. And so he said, little flock. Do you understand the tenderness of that? Little flock. You know, we take the little baby and we say, little baby. And we love that little baby and hold that little baby and cuddle that little baby. And Jesus is saying, hey, my sweet church, my lovely little one, my flock. He said, listen, if it weren't so, I would have told you. That's how close you are to me. God's hid these things from the wise and prudent, but He's shown them to these babes, to this church. So here we're talking about good communication with His church. Oh, He's working with that little flock. And He wants them to reach the world. And we're to be doing that. You see, the size of the church is not important. You know, we talk about mega churches. But we could probably put, I saw a little bit of the game yesterday, Alabama and whoever they beat up on. That's Missouri, wasn't it? I shouldn't say that. But they beat up on them. They beat up on everybody, so that's not a surprise. You could have put 10 mega churches in there and still had room left over for that one game. You see what I mean? Little flock. You know what God said to King Saul through the prophet Samuel? You were so much better off when you were little in your own eyes. You became too big for your britches, and you lost it. We understand that, don't we? Britches, your trousers, your pants, whatever it is. And he did. He became too big. And when we become too big and don't consider us his little flock. But if we consider ourselves to be the little flock that he's talking to and communicating with. And listen, this flock grew, but it's always in comparison with the world going to be little. I mean, we could take all the churches in the world and put them together and it'd still be little compared to those that would not be in those churches. So, there's an idea there of tenderness and submissive. I mean, you know, this few is not a problem because we're not to despise the day of small things. God uses them because they're usable. They will submit to Him. Little, but still a flock. God's flock. You know, I was thinking that, you know, when the servant went and got Rebecca to come back, Rebecca was there with a flock, small flock that a woman could take care of. And then a bunch of years later, Jacob goes there and he finds Rachel, a small flock. But when Jacob got involved in this and God got involved in this, it became a much bigger flock, but it was still a flock. We can't push it too far and too fast, lest we override and overwork these and the whole lose the whole thing in one day. But we're a flock that belongs to the Lord. We're a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a church where He says, listen, He says this, He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And listen, that little flock is charging those gates of hell. We're going forward into the places where His name is not named, where the devil has been in control for years. We had a lady that came to church, and it just happened to be preaching about the devil exposing him, and we were having resistance in the service, and I got excited about these things and started preaching. I said, the devil ought to get out of here. And this lady stood up, her hat flew off, she passed out. I think the devil was leaving. Went by to see her. The only thing that I knew to do is give her the gospel. You see, when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, the devil can't come there anymore. Amen. And I'm thankful. So I sat down and went through the gospel with her. We had a group. We had a delegation of four men. A guy to interpret for me, and two other men came along the way. And it was just to the Lord. And we'd go through the gospel with her and get her down. Would you like to trust the Lord? She said, yes. We bowed her head, and all of a sudden the kitchen table flew up in the air. Guys that over here, the delegating praying party, they hit the door. They were gone. I saw them the next week. Ah, that's exciting, folks. What do you do? I had peace in my heart. Didn't faze me much. I won't say any. Went through the gospel again with her. She starts rolling on the floor, having some kind of a fit. I found that happening when Jesus dealt with some. And then when she was calmed down a bit and sitting on the floor now, no more table flying up in the air, and went through the gospel. Would you like to trust the Lord? And she did. Interesting. But it's God's flock. He likes working. Like I say, it's not all roses. Yeah. But it is God's work. A flock that the Lord wants to hold. A flock the Lord wants to feed. A flock that He wants to care for. A flock that He wants to produce fruit. A flock that He wants to have good wool. Flock that He wants to reproduce itself and have other flocks around the world. It's the Lord's flock. It was a little flock. Few, no large conversions on the day of Pentecost. Until the day of Pentecost. They had little money. But they still worship God in spirit and in truth. We have the promise. And I believe this promise is to a church. Not just to the individuals that get out there and say, we're having church. We've two, three gathered together. He's in our midst. No, that's talking about church. Duly authorized. Or a mission constituted to get going. He said, I'll be in the midst. Why? He's in the midst of His church. So little. We sing that song, little as much when God is in it, and it's true. And it's little. There were no rabbis, there were no titled people, there was no princes, no kings, no nobles, no intelligent, no highly sophisticated. Fishermen! Tax collectors, ordinary citizens that God had saved. God had called to be a part of this first church. The promise is the kingdom is yours to go forth. They were small, but not small in faith. And that's what he's building here. When you stop to look at that, God says, I want you to live by faith. Now, in 2018, what that means is when I go to the doctor and I get a report says I've got cancer, now I'm going to live by faith. Now, I'm not against that. You need to. You need to live by faith in that situation. Ask God to heal you and a few other things there. And give God the praise when and He does these kind of things. But the point is this. That's not when God wants our faith to start. He wants it to start back here as His little flock. To trust Him in everyday situations, everyday experience. My grandson. You have grandchildren, it just opens new illustrations right there. Hey, built in. He's 3 years old. Now, because you can be attacked there in South Africa just about any time, anywhere, and his mother asked him, he said, well, if I was attacked by somebody, what would you do? He said, I pray for you. Wow, what a good answer. She asked me that, I might say, I'll pray for you. I would do more than that, I'd get involved. But she said, that's a good answer, but what do you mean? He said, well, I'm little and God can do so much more than I can. Out of the mouth of babes. Listen, that's the way we're supposed to have faith. Like these little children, that's how you get saved and that's how you should live and trust God like He's real. Because He is. We had a man that we were going off to the ocean and come back, and he said, would you bring us a 2-liter bottle of water? Do we know what 2 liters is? Do we sell anything by liters here? We do? Coca-Cola, 2 liters? Okay. I want to see the ocean. Bring me back 2 liters. We did. Wow, the ocean's awful big. It wasn't, that was the closest he ever got to the ocean. But the ocean is big. But I want you to understand that the water in that bottle had all the properties of the water in the ocean. In our faith, whether it be a faith of a teenager or whether it be faith of a young couple or a young adult or older, doesn't matter, has all the properties of faith. We need to believe Him. We're His flock. He wants to give us the kingdom. We need to go and charge that kingdom and reach that kingdom with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. When my wife and I were liking each other and planning to get married, she got sick and she was in the hospital, and I went and picked out the engagement ring. No, she wasn't delirious when I asked her to marry me, but, okay, make that clear, okay. Although, with some, it might be a good thing. Anyway. We were Bible college students. I mean, we had to take magnifying glass. There we go, and to see that diamond. But you know what? That diamond had all the properties of the Hope Diamond. Some of the big diamonds of the world, still a diamond, and the faith of a little church, His little flock, when it has faith. It's just as big, just as powerful as big faith, if you please. Wow, this little flock to go and do what God's given it to do, and we need to do the same. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. fear not. He knew that a big problem with his church would be fear. Some of you may be struggling with that. How can I give more to Faith Promise? Well, God puts it in your pocket, so why are you afraid of that? He puts it there so you can take it out. Take it out, give it to Him, and see what else God does. That's how Faith Promise works. We talk about the meal that Elijah enjoyed and the oil that the lady, the widow, had, and how God worked in that way. And every day they came back and there was more meal and there was more oil, and they ate, and I don't know how long that went on. But living by faith, oh, that's a good thing. Don't fear doing that. When God says, I want you to give this amount, don't stagger with unbelief. Believe Him. Trust Him. Don't fear. Listen, no matter what happens in the future, I'm going to need God. If things carry on okay, like they've been for the last 40, 50 years, then okay. But if it all falls apart, I have nothing but Him. So why not go forth day to day with nothing but Him? Believe Him. Trust Him. Don't fear. What are some of the things that we fear? He says God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. Love. We're not under bondage again to fear. We've been saved from that bondage of fear and having to worry about those kind of things. But let's go to Mark chapter number 4. I want you to see something here. Mark chapter 4. I like this church. There's no clocks there anywhere. Good man. All right. I'd see one up here, but I'm sure that time is wrong. But I'm having fun, whether you are or not. Okay, so just leave me alone. Let me continue. Mark chapter 4, verse number 41. And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We fear the world. We fear the politics. We fear the criminal element. We fear the demonic pressures. So many things that we can fear. But sometimes we fear the Lord's will for our life. And let me say something to you. I'm quoting Pastor Ken Schaefer from Larimore, North Dakota. You should never fear the will of God for your life. What God wants to do is far better than you and I could ever do. So don't fear what He wants you to do. Jesus said to them, get in the boat, let's go the other side. They got in the boat. Jesus went to sleep. The storm came up. The disciples, I'm sure, were standing around, worrying, wringing their hands. What are we going to do? Peter, why don't you go wake him up? Oh, not me. He's going to say we have no faith. Did God take them out there to die in that storm? Or did God take them out there to show them how weak their faith was and how strong their faith should be? They woke him up. I would have been last in that line. No, I'd rather believe him than wake him. But they marveled. And this happened on more than one occasion. They marveled. Jesus walking on the water. They feared right away. And then that's Jesus. Be of good cheer. It's I. Peter said, can I get out of the boat and walk over there? He said, yes, go ahead. They had a funeral for Peter the next day. Oh, maybe they didn't. Yeah, he went under because he took his eyes off the Lord, but he did walk on the water, and he's the only one that did that, and he's the only one that had the faith to do that. But it also teaches us to keep your eyes on the Lord as you have faith. Ah, little flock, fear not. Don't fear what God may want to do with you. You know, sometimes God doesn't show us all the will of God right at the beginning. We'd probably run in fear right then and there. But God leads us gently along. Let me give you a good verse here. I just wrote part of it down, okay? He shall feed, he shall gather you to himself, he shall carry you over the waters and gently lead you along. Wow, wow. He said, I'll leave the 99 and I'll come and find you. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow. Could it be that God wants something special for your life? There's a man in the Bible. He believed God, but he had trouble believing God, okay? And a little bit maybe like we are. His name was Zechariah. He's in the temple. He's doing his business. And an angel shows up. And the first thing out of the angel's mouth is, Fear not, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Wow. It's kind of like the little boy said to his dad. He said, Dad, can you give me some money? He said, What do you need it for? He said, I want to answer your prayer. Amen. Sometimes out of the mouth of babes. Amen. Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Your wife's going to give birth to a child. Zechariah had trouble with that. He didn't speak for 9 months plus. I mean, that was... Wow! You know, the most terrible thing that can happen to an independent Baptist is he can't speak for 9 months. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, that would be torture for your preacher to not have be able to... It'd be torture for me and for the rest of you too. But just think what God was doing. The child that's born, there'll be none greater born of woman than this man, John the Baptist. And that was God's will. And he said, Zechariah, don't fear. God's doing something special here. And God wants to do something special with us. So don't fear. Let him have his way. Ah, this one that prepared the way of the Lord, that made his path straight. He wasn't shaking in the wind like the reed. He wasn't wearing the king's clothing and the soft raiment. But he was all man and he preached a man's message. Repent. Called his congregation a bunch of snakes at one point because they wouldn't repent. Snakes because they were slithering and crooked and every sort of thing, but not repentant. John the Baptist. But yet John the Baptist's great words to me are, he must increase, but I must decrease. Fear God. Fear God. So we have the kingdom. We have our Father's good pleasure. We have the little flock. And we have the fear not. Point number five. We've used every word in the verse, right? It's simple. Who said this? Jesus. Let me say to you this, that although we as the flock are little, there's nothing little about Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God that bears the sin of the world. When he was born, he detached a star and brought it over here. Just a little thing here to God, but an amazing thing to us. And said, This is where he's born, right here at this place. Not a little. Our Savior is big, folks. Then we need to believe in Him as the big God. And I don't mean that in disrespect. I mean that we need to trust Him as the Almighty God that He is. And trust Him and follow Him. You know, every religion in the world's got to have something around Christmas time because they're like Jeroboam. I've got to create a religion so that they don't go down there to worship, or they'll all go down there and the kingdom will return to the south. So he created these calves and they worship them. And the religion of the world do the same thing, and they have something around Christmas. The other time they have something is around resurrection time. He's not here. No small stir about what happened to him either. They tried to cover it up, tried to hide it. But even today, 2,000 years later, we still honor the Lord on that resurrection day. And by the way, we do that every Sunday. No small thing about the Lord. All powerful, almighty, knowing everything, guiding and directing, being the head of His church. He said, listen, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Go where I lead you, because you can do this work, little flock. Because our Savior is the great I Am, and we can trust Him. Let's stand to our feet, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed.